some verses in the Old Testament and then over in the New Testament also. And so you listen well, and if I'm not loud enough, we can turn it up. But I wanted to think this morning concerning this thing of walking in truth. And really walking in the steps of the Lord is a walking in truth. Brother Bradley didn't know what I was preaching. I was listening to the words of that and how true those words to that old song, how they are true to us, that we are to walk in the steps of our Lord and to follow after Him in the direction that He gives unto us. So I want to start out this morning in the book of Ezekiel, chapter number 33. Ezekiel, chapter number 33. And we'll read just a few verses here, and then we'll go to another portion of Scripture in the Old Testament. I guess there's nothing better than reading the Word of God. Sometimes we read one or two verses, and we take our text, and sometimes we depart from the text, never to return. And sometimes we stay right there in that particular place. But the verses this morning, if I had nothing else to say, I think these verses would speak to our heart, that we would know what we are to do as a child of God, as a Christian. In chapter number 33, I want to begin reading in verse number 1. And we'll read five or six verses here. Here the Lord speaks unto Ezekiel. It says, "Again the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak unto the children of thy people, and say unto them, When I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their coast, and set him for their watchman, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet, and warn the people. Then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning. His blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning and deliver his soul, but if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take away a person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand." Here are people that are given the opportunity to have the warning given unto them, the watchman that sits there and watches the impending trouble or the sword that might come to them. If he does not blow the trumpet, then he is at fault. If he does not give the word and give the message, then those that are lost will be upon his particular life. There are those people that when he blows the trumpet, they will hear and they will take heed to that message. And then there are those people that will hear and do nothing. So three particular groups are mentioned here in this passage. It is the trumpeter or the spokesman or the prophet, those that hear and do, and those that hear and do not. Now turn with me over again in the Old Testament, the book of Isaiah, chapter number 59. These verses that I read in these passages are more of an introduction to what we'll be reading in the New Testament here in just a moment. In Isaiah chapter 59, thank God, verse 50, chapter 59, verse 1, says, "The Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear." I'm glad the Lord has a hand that is ready, an ear that is ready for those that would come unto him and would hear the sound of that trumpet. We find in verse number 14, we'll pick up our reading, it says, "And judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off. For truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him, and there was no judgment, that there was no judgment. And he saw that there was no man, and wondered that that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, his righteousness it has stained him, for he put on righteousness as a breastplate and an helmet of salvation upon his head. And he put on garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal and a cloak. Verse number 17 sounds almost like the New Testament, that tells us that we have an armor that we are to put on, and that we can follow after him and fight the battle. But here in these verses in chapter 59 of Isaiah, tell us that the subject matter here is this subject of truth. It says, truth is fallen in the streets. The psalmist, I believe, asked the question, what can the righteous do when we see the foundations being destroyed? And here we find truth fallen in the street. It faileth, and it is not accomplishing what needs to be done. It has fallen. Now, these verses are just to get our thoughts upon that matter of truth. It's very important today that we recognize what truth is. I believe more today than maybe in days gone by, we need to understand the truth of God's Word and what He tells us in His Word. So if you would take in now in the New Testament and turn to the little epistle of John, 2 John in the New Testament, only has 13 verses. Written by, of course, the Apostle John. This is one of the letters that John wrote, along with 1st and 3rd John, the Gospel of John, and then the book of the Revelation. And so here the Apostle writes these words under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Never forget what we read this morning, and what we read every morning or every Sunday night or Wednesday night, whenever it might be. Always remember, this is not man's word. This is God's word. This is His revealing to us what we need to know if we will but follow Him. In 2 John, let's begin in verse number 1. The elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all they that have known the truth. Here in verse number 1, the word truth is used 2 times, and continue to notice that word as we read. For the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us, and shall be with us forever. Grace be with you, and mercy and peace from God the Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. I rejoiced greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father. And now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we have from the beginning, that we love one another. And in this love that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment, that as ye have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it. For many deceivers are entered into the world, who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves, that you lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Verse number 8 says, look to yourselves that we lose not. Now, he's not talking about salvation. He's talking about that which we have been given to us as the commandment of God. Look to yourselves that you lose not those things which we have wrought, or which we've given, but that you receive a full reward. The book of 2 John, of this little short passage of Scripture, I believe was written by the apostle to give an encouragement to all the Christians of his day and of this group that he's writing to, He is encouraging them and encouraging us that we do not lose our focus on what really is important. And really our focus on the important thing is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. We are warned against the heresy that comes against him. The key purpose, I believe, that John is writing here is that his children, or the children of God, would abide in the truth that has been wrought or given to them by not only Apostle John, but by others. In verses 1, 2, and 3, we have the greeting that John gives to this elect or chosen lady. There's a lot of speculation upon who this lady is or what it is. I've read commentary after commentary, and there are differences of opinion. There are some that think there was an individual lady that was very important in the life of John. Then there are those that believe that this is most likely talking about the churches of that region. The church is always considered in a feminine gender. The elder here is thought to be, and probably is, the Apostle John. And he is writing to this people or this person. In verses 4 through 11, which is really the body of the letter, John supports the commandment to love one another. I believe that's a commandment that we are to have and we're to hold very dear in our heart. He cautions them to watch for the deceivers and the antichrists that come in, try to destroy the group or the part of the body of Christ. He says here that we're to walk in truth. And truth is very, very important. There are some people that say we never can know truth. Pilate asked the question, what is truth? And there are some that says, well, truth is sort of subjective. Whatever situation you're in, whatever works becomes truth to you. Well, I reject that notion completely because truth is black and white. There's no gray area. When God says it's wrong, it's wrong. When God says it's right, it's right. It's not according to our situations. It's not according to our circumstances. But truth is always according to the word of the Lord. Now, we fail and we falter very much in doing and having the truth of God in our heart. And we fail immensely of upholding all the things that the Lord gives to us. But we find that if we follow the Lord, there are those that will despise us and those that will despitefully use us. Here we find, really I'm using verse 6 and verse 7 this morning as our main verses. And we find here that there are those that are deceivers that have entered in. And John here warns them concerning this subject of truth. Look at verse number 6. And this is love, that we walk in its commandments. This is the commandment, that as ye have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it. What's that? Truth, the commandment of God. Now verse number 7, we start here with this preposition for. He says we are under the commandment of God that we walk in that commandment. We walk in truth for or because many deceivers are entered into the world. What are they deceived about and what are they deceiving? They are deceiving upon the subject of Jesus Christ. Now I'm telling you what, you can be deceived on a lot of things in this world. You can be deceived on a lot of truths in this world. But if you're deceived about the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're of all people most miserable. Because it is he that determines, and it is his word that has determined whether or not we live in heaven or we spend eternity in hell. We believe in the verbal inspiration of the word of God. That just simply means God spoke it, God breathed it, and it is written down and we have it preserved to us this morning in our Bible. I believe in the inerrant, infallible, correct, perfect word of God. We have a message from the Lord. If there's any mixture of error, then we have all of it being in error. If there's anything wrong in the Word of God, if there's anything that has been given to us that is incorrect, then that throws a question mark upon all of it. Because if one thing can be wrong, then something else might be wrong. And I believe that's where we are today in our personal society in which we live. There are so many questions about what is truth. Really, what is truth all about? And John here, he shows us the importance of walking in that commandment and walking in that truth of the Lord. He talks about this elect lady, if it is the church there that he is a church that he is writing to, then he determines to them that they are to walk in that truth that they have always had, that they are to believe what he has taught them and what he has given to them. If that is truth, then they are to live there. And the reason they are to uphold it so very strongly and so very gallantly is that because there are deceivers that have come in. Paul says there are deceivers that's crept in unaware. He tells us there are those that have just come in, and we do not realize it until the fruit of their labor is brought before us. And so we have to be careful with certain things that we have in our world. So we believe in the verbal inspiration of the Word of God. Every word is very, very important, and every word is vital to the interpretation of a text. Every word is right, and every word is necessary. Somebody said, well, I don't like this part of the Bible. It's boring. Well, it's necessary to be there. I don't necessarily enjoy reading through Leviticus. There's some things in there that's just hard to read and hard to understand, but it's necessary, and there's reasons for that. It may not be as easy to read as it is the Gospel of John, but every word is necessary for our understanding of his love to us. And so he tells us in verse number 7, he starts out with that little word for. That preposition that shows a relationship between the noun and a pronoun. It gives the essence of the sentence. For is given here because many deceivers, and I dare say this morning in 2017, there's many more deceivers now than there were when John wrote that. Everywhere you look, everything you listen to, sometimes many commentaries that you read, our world is infiltrated with false doctrine because they know not the truth. I believe the most important thing in the life of a child of God is truth that we have. It's not the spectacular things that is offered, but it's important to you and I. It's important to us to know the truth. And John uses it over and over again here. And there are those that have come in to deceive because we are to walk in his commandments and follow the direction that he gives. John expresses this importance of the love of the truth. When I hear someone speak and they're not well equipped in their manner, sometimes that affects us. But I can hear someone speak, and they may not be well equipped in articulation, but if they're preaching truth, then they need to be listened unto. They may be very articulate, and they may have all the things that the world has to have given them that they can send forth the message, and you can almost see you can see the picture painted before you in your mind. But if they have not truth, they are very dangerous to be around and very dangerous for us to listen. And so John here expresses the importance of truth and to love that which is true. In today's Christian world, and I use that word Christian very loosely, in today's Christian world, I find that we that believe what we believe are sometimes depicted as old-fashioned. We are depicted as troublemakers. We are talked about as just real legalist, and we have no love for anybody. But I'll tell you what, truth separates right and wrong. And it's not always agreeable to everyone. And we are to be like Christ. And he tells us that there are certain ways that we can follow after him. Today's Christian world, or Christian's love, I believe is a false love. I believe it depicts something that is not found in the Word of God. Today, the deceivers around us, they will say, well, doctrine divides, but love unifies. Well, that's a popular statement. Doctrine does not divide. Doctrine teaches us what is right and what is wrong. Now, it may separate and it may bring a division, but truth, teaching of the Word of God is so very important in our life, because what we lose in our generation, the next generation that comes after us will never experience that and will never have it. If we lose doctrinal integrity in our churches, and by the way, we are losing that in our churches. When we lose all of that, then before long we just have a group of people coming together just to enjoy the fellowship and enjoy the good times together and never have anything. We just love each other so much. Well, a person that loves you will tell you truth. We may not like it, but a person that loves somebody else will warn them. We are to be that watchman that sounds the warning. You are to be a watchman. I am to be a watchman. And we are to sound that warning out to those around us. This is truth, and we cannot deny that. Isaiah says truth is fallen in the street. He says it's here, but it has fallen, and no longer is it effective in the lives of people. It's true that we are to love sinners, and definitely that is taught in the Word of God. But that love is different from the love that unifies us in the realm of truth. We believe certain things in God's Word, and therefore those things are truth. True biblical love consists of the commandments of the Word of God, and we have the message that tells us that we are to love people, but yet we are to teach according to truth. Truth does not, and doctrine is not a divider. It is a unifier. And truth taught in love. One of the messages, and one of the writers said that we are to speak the truth in love. We're to have the truth of God. We're to speak that message and have that compassionate heart toward those that are lost. True love and truth that comes from God comes because he sometimes even has to correct us. He shows us an area that we're wrong, and he corrects us, and he does it because he loves us. The reason our world this morning is torn apart, and I believe we're seeing the real almost disintegration of our country. I believe we're seeing it falling apart at the very foundation, and before long the whole building will crumble and fall. Well, there's no respect, there's no love of truth, there's no love of God, there's no love of any other than just a few people around our country. But when you can stand and make a proclamation that you love God and you love the Lord and you love your country and you're the bad guy, I'm telling you what, we're in trouble. And we become the bad guy when we say that we are believers in the Word of God. It's imperative this morning that truth stands. Woe unto a nation, woe unto a church, woe unto an individual when truth is fallen in their life. Truth is fallen in the street, Isaiah said. It is imperative that we believe truth, that we walk in truth, that our love is bound together in the truth of God's Word. You never compromise truth in order to gain somebody's appreciation of you. You never back up on what's real and what's right just so somebody won't get mad at you. Truth is the dividing element. And without it, we all die without God. It's the truth of His Word that we must believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. If we were able to take a poll in our country this morning, probably 240, 50, I'm not sure of the population of our country. If we say be able to take a poll of all the adults and the people that are able to think, if we were able to do that, we would find this morning that we are a very small minority of people that believe this book as it is, as it stands or falls. We'll find that the trouble is around us everywhere, and truth is falling in the streets. And one day we may look back and say, truth did fall. Now this is where we are headed. And so therefore, when that happens, God says judgment comes, and now we're to be watchmen. We're to be those people that warn the impending judgment that comes upon a people. And God says, God doesn't say there in Ezekiel, says, if I sinned, He says, when I sinned. And when judgment comes and falls upon a people, there are to be those that are willing to say, but this is truth. This is God's Word. It is imperative this morning that we have God's Word. It's not just a book that contains. This Bible here doesn't contain the Word of God. This Bible is the Word of God. Big difference. I've got some books up in my library that contain the Word of God because it has certain portions of it. But I only have one book. I only have one that is the Word of God. And this is this book we read this morning. And so we find that it's imperative that we have God's Word. If the Bible, as I said a while ago, if a Bible has errors, then it cannot be God's Word, for He is perfect, and He said, I have breathed it out. And holy men of old spake as they were moved, and they wrote down those things that God gave to them. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4 says, But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. We quote that all the time. Man shall not live by bread alone, but notice the next word, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of Isaiah. No. By every word that proceedeth out of the word of John the Apostle or the Apostle Paul. But we are to live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That identifies who we are and what we believe. That we are to realize that bread and raiment are important, but we can't live by, we are not going to survive with that, just that. We must have the Word of God. It's imperative that we have the message of God's Word and every word that has proceeded out of His mouth. Not only is it important and imperative that we have God's Word, but I believe it's imperative that we believe God's Word. It's not just enough to have it. There's too many of us have it, and it sits over on the coffee table or on the bookshelf or somewhere else in our house and never opened. It's not enough just to have a copy of God's Word, but the Bible tells us here that we must believe it. It's imperative that we believe. Romans chapter 1, verse number 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. And the last phrase there, who hold the truth in unrighteousness. There's two things that do not go together there, and that's truth and unrighteousness. He tells us here that there are those that hold the truth of God, but yet they hold it in unrighteousness. And God says, my wrath will be revealed from heaven against their ungodliness and their unrighteousness. This world has God's fingerprint all over it. But yet the majority of this world says that God had nothing to do. There's no such thing as God. It just came about by explosion, accident. And we're here this morning because of evolution. Ungodliness, unrighteousness, God says my wrath will be revealed against them because they do not have the truth and will not proclaim it. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, in verse number 10, it says, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth. This little word truth, T-R-U-T-H, pretty important word in his message to us. He tells them there, says, they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. They're not going to receive truth that they might understand what life is all about. Life is more than fun and good times and a game and live till I die and then I'm forgotten. Life is much more important than that. But our generation around us and people around us and the generation coming up behind us, they have no understanding of what truth is. And here Paul writes to this church of Thessalonica, he said they won't believe the truth that they might be saved. Verse 11 says, for this cause God shall send them strong delusion. Strong delusion. What's delusion? It's a tearing down of our vision and a knowledge of what is truth. It says here that they might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit. And guess what? Belief of the, what's the word? Truth. We are saved this morning because the Spirit of God has given us life and we believe the truth. And now he tells us here that we have been set aside because of truth. It's imperative that we have God's Word. It's imperative that we believe God's Word. It's imperative that we understand as much as we can of God's Word. Nehemiah 8 says, so they read in the book of the law of God distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. What a wonderful thing it would be if we could sit down and just read and understand. And the world would look at this book in a different view and would understand what it's really saying. We have friends, we have loved ones, we have family members that really they are delusional. They think a lot of things. I have people in my family that there's no way I can talk to them because they just don't think the way we think. Generation that has turned their back upon the Lord. I watch the news media and I watch the things that's going on in St. Louis and Berkeley and all the areas of our country. We are literally falling under anarchy. And there's nobody speaking truth. There's nobody upholding righteousness. And so generation after generation, we continue to lose. We must have it. We must believe it. We must understand it. And then lastly, it's imperative that we walk according to the truth of God. And that's where we fail so many times. 2 John, where we read verse number 6. And this is love, that we walk after His commandments. It's amazing to me the people that have been exposed to truth and they will not walk accordingly. It's amazing to me of people that have been raised in good churches and they walk and they understand what thus saith the Lord, and yes, they just do what they want to do. And while America dies, while people die without God, we go on with our activities like nothing is going to ever change. Just remember, there's a watchman. And the watchman warns us and tells us of the impending danger that is ahead. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. And he says, and as you've heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. John says here, you have heard from the very beginning, walk in truth. Everything in this little 12-verse chapter or book tells us that we are to not lose those things which we have. We walk in truth. We walk in righteousness. Don't give them up. And I'll tell you what, there is a battle that rages every day of our life to give up. What's the use? The world's going to hell anyway. What's the use? The world's dying without God. What's the use? There's more of them than there is of us. What's the use? If the devil doesn't get in your mind like that, please tell me how you keep him from doing that. Because we get to the point of saying, why? Nobody listens. Nobody hears. And sometimes those that hear will just reject. But he tells us here that we must walk in his commandments because there are deceivers that have entered into the world. And right now the deceivers look like they're getting upper hand on us. But I'll tell you what, we've read the last book. We've read the last chapter. And it's by the same human author as this little 12-verse book is, the Apostle John. I'm glad this morning that I know truth. I hope this morning that I can walk in truth. I hope that I can stand where he says to stand. Even though there are deceivers, even though there are those things that come to us, John says, just look to yourselves that you lose not those things which we have wrought. John says, what I have taught you, then you look and you remember what he has given. Later on in that last part of that little chapter, John says, I don't want to write everything with paper and ink. He said, I want to come to you. And it was his desire to encourage this elect lady or this church, whatever it is, whoever it is. He wanted to encourage her and her children that they walk in truth. May God help us this morning to be encouraged that we have the Word of God, we hold the Word of God, and we believe it. And may we walk in it until we leave this world. Let's stand together this morning.